This week's parsha is Parshas Miketz. Here we continue the story of Yosef. Here is actually the story of Yosef's accession to be the viceroy of Egypt. Giving a quick synopsis, Yosef was sold by his brothers. At least that's what Yosef thought the brothers did. He was taken to the house of Potiphar, the Sar HaTabochim, the minister of the butchers, and then the wife of Potiphar tried to entice him that Yosef commit adultery with her. She was not successful. Yosef was able to resist, but nonetheless, she accused him of actually having relationships with her. Potiphar put him in jail. The master of the jail made Yosef the person in charge. In other words, Yosef received privileges that he was in charge of all the prisoners. Paro at the same time got angry at the minister of bakery because he found a pebble in his food, and he also got angry at the wine minister because he found a fly in the wine. So he put them both in jail. They both have a dream. Yosef sees that their face isn't the same as it was before. In other words, he sees that they are clearly bothered by something, that they are clearly worried about something. He asks them what happened. They tell him they had a dream. Yosef interprets the dream, and in the dream, the wine steward is going to be restored to its proper place, and the baker is going to be killed. Yosef interprets it that way, and as is interpreted, so it was. But he asks that the wine steward should not forget Yosef in jail, and he should surely remember him. This week's parsha starts that after 2 years of this occurrence, where the wine steward or the minister of the wines completely forgot Yosef, Hashem makes Pharaoh have a dream. Pharaoh dreams first that he's standing on the river, and from the river it's coming up 7 fat cows. And then 7 ugly cows, skinny cows, are coming up from the river. They stay next to the 7 fat cows. And the 7 skinny cows eat the 7 fat cows. And then he has a second dream that 7 spigots are coming up on one stalk. And they are very fat and very healthy looking. And then 7 spigots, very, very wind-blown, wind-damaged, and very dried up, and very skinny, come up in another stalk, and the 7 ugly, thin spigots eat the 7 healthy spigots, and Paro gets up, and Paro is very distraught. He doesn't know how to interpret. He calls his stargazers and necromancers, his magicians, and they also don't know how to interpret. Paro gets angry. Paro threatens, according to the Midrash, that anybody who is not going to interpret his dream, he will kill. Therefore, the wine steward, the wine mister, all of a sudden remembers Yosef, and he tells Pharaoh that, yes, I remember my sins. I remember once I had a dream, and there was this Jewish boy, which is a slave. He interpreted to me, as is interpreted, so it was. Pharaoh tells the wine steward, the wine mister, quickly bring him up from the pit, from the jail, and Yosef is brought in front of Pharaoh. According to the Gemara, it was Rosh Hashanah, and he interprets to Pharaoh that the 7 skinny cows and the 7 fat cows are all 7 years, and the 7 skinny or ugly looking spigots and the 7 very healthy looking spigots are 7 years and 7 years. First will come 7 years of plenty into Egypt, and then will come 7 years of starvation, of hunger, and you won't know during the 7 years of famine that there was ever a plenty. And it explains that what Hashem wants to do, Hashem is telling Pharaoh, and the reason for the repetition of the dream is to let Pharaoh know that events are about to unfold, they are already unfolding, that the 7 plenty years already started, And therefore, Yosef gives advice to Pharaoh. He recommends him that he should appoint a smart and understanding person, and that person should tax the people on the 7 plenty years and save and store food to be able to have sustenance on the 7 skinny years, on the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh, when he listens to Yosef, realizes or makes a question, is there such a wise understanding man as he? Nobody objects. So Pharaoh appoints Yosef to become his viceroy. Pharaoh changes the name of Yosef to Tzofnas Paneach and gives him as a wife Osnas, the daughter of Potipharah, which according to the Midrash, Osnas is the daughter of Dinah, which is the daughter of Yaakov. She was raped by Shechem and she marries Yosef, and they have 2 children before the famine starts. They have Menashe and Ephraim. And after that, he says that the famine is about to start. The famine is all over, not only Egypt, also the land of Canaan. Jacob sees that the famine is strong. He says to his sons, Lomo Tisrau, why are you showing yourself that you still have food? Rashi says that Jacob at that point still had food, but he didn't want that the children of Ishmael and the children of Esau should get jealous on him. So therefore he decides to send his children to Egypt, because he had heard that the prince in Egypt, the viceroy of Egypt, sells food for anybody who wants to buy. He sends 10 brothers to go down to Egypt. He keeps Binyamin with him because he's afraid that something bad is going to happen to Binyamin. And since he doesn't have any more Joseph, so he's afraid that he's not going to have anything from the children of Rachel. That's a simple interpretation, but we're going to try to give a little more interpretation what is going on. 10 brothers go down to Egypt. Yosef already let everybody know, everybody in immigration know, that if everybody comes in and he says the son of Yaakov, to keep a lookout for that. 10 brothers come in through 10 different doors. Yosef calls them to his palace. Yosef recognizes his brothers, but his brothers did not recognize him. Yosef accuses them of being spies, that the reason they came in through 10 doors was to spy the land. So that's where we're going to continue our parsha this week, and that's where we're going to ask a couple of questions. What is going on here? The first question that we're going to ask is a very hard question, and all the Mefarshim in different ways try to answer. We answered with the interpretation of the Rachaim last week, but we're going to try to interpret the interpretation of the Ramban, the interpretation of the Klei Yochor, and a couple different interpretations that tie the whole story together. And the question is that we understand, while Yosef was a slave, while he was in jail, that he is not able to tell his father that, father, I'm alive. But as soon as Pharaoh made him a viceroy, how is it possible that Yosef, who loved his father so much, or his father loved him so much, that Yosef does not send his father a letter? Father, I'm alive. Send a messenger. Tell him, I'm alive. His father must have been pained for not knowing what happened to him almost 21 years at this juncture. So how can you be so selfish as not to tell your father you're alive? True that you couldn't before because you were a slave, but as soon the first opportunity that you can, you know your father is hurt, he doesn't know what happened to you, so how can you not tell your father you're alive? The Ramban says that since Yosef saw the first part of his dream come true, that 10 of his brothers bowed down to him, and he remembered of his second dream, where the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to him, he wanted to have the other part of the dreams come true. Therefore he told his brothers that they are spies. The Ramban continues and says that even though Hebron from Mitzrayim is only 6 days apart, and then had he told his father that he's a slave, his father would have redeemed him if as much money as he wanted. Or had he told his boss that he was a slave, he would have redeemed it as much money as he wanted. But since he saw the dream come true, and he saw his successes in Egypt, and he also wanted the other dreams to come true, so therefore he decided that he's not going to say anything, and he's going to play it out by accusing the brothers of being spies. Like that, they'll be forced to bring the other brothers, and the father will be also forced to come down. And like that, his dreams will become true. The question on this Ramban, by the way, the Sephorna echoes exactly the words of the Ramban. He says that since he saw the first dream come true, he wanted the second dream to come true. The question on the Ramban and on the Sephorna is a very strong one. It's very, very hard. Can you believe that Yosef should be so egocentric that he wants the dreams to come true? Therefore, you're going to put your father through such pain? How is it possible that Yosef HaTzadik, we call him Yosef HaTzadik, should do this all because of his ego, that he wants to make sure that the dream come true? The Klei Yochor asked to this question, and the Klei Yochor says that, what? If you believe in Hashem, don't you think that Hashem could make dreams come true even without your help? If it is really a prophecy, so it doesn't matter what you do, the dreams will still come true. How can Yosef go through this to cause his brother's pain for nothing and cause his father aggravation just because of the dreams? Therefore, the Klei Yochor answers that the reason that he didn't tell his father that he was alive is because he thought, since Hashem did not tell his father, then obviously Hashem wants the father's pain, and must be that 22 years is midah keneged midah, a measure for measure. Like we mentioned before, that since Yaakov did not serve Yitzchak for 22 years, therefore he was punished measure for measure, that his favorite son Yosef did not see him for 22 years. So Yosef realized that the fact that Hashem did not disclose to Yaakov that I'm alive must be that Hashem wants Yaakov to have this pain as an atonement for him for not serving his father for 22 years. So therefore, Yosef did not disclose. And the reason that Yosef wanted to have his brother's pain, in other words, he wanted to cause his brother's pain, according to the Klei Yochor, is that he wanted to remove their sins. What they did, that they sold them into a captivity as a slave, was something so harsh, and the criticism becomes so strong, that Yosef thought that by giving them pain, measure for measure, what they did to him, give them back, that will cause their sin to become diminished, and they won't have to suffer for the sins so much. So he explains, the first thing he did is to tell them they were spies. Why? Because they thought that Yosef was spying on them in order to bring evil reports from them to their father. And the Klei Yochor brings a pasuk that says that Holchei Rogel Oyu Bach Leman Shfoich Dam, that people who speak Loshon Hara, or people who speak evil reports, eventually cause people's death. Therefore, the brothers, before they saw Yosef, they wanted to kill him. When Yosef went by the message of the father to look for them, before they saw him in Dothan, they wanted to kill him, because they thought, since he's bringing Lashon Hara, eventually he's going to cause our death. And there is a halacha that says, Haba lehargecha, if somebody is coming to kill you, hashkim lehargo, you have the right of self-defense. So the brothers wanted to kill him because of this self-defense, because they thought that since he's speaking Lashon Hara on them, eventually he's going to cause their killing, so their demise. Therefore, they thought that they have the right of preemptive strike and kill him first. Kill him before he has a chance to cause them more damage, speak more Lashon Hara, and thereby cause their death. So as soon as they saw him, they wanted to kill him. So Yosef, realizing how they were mistaken, and realizing that they now will suffer greatly in the hands of heaven for what they did, Yosef decided to give them back measure for measure. And Yosef accused them of being a spy, the same way they accused him for speaking Lashon Hara and being spies on them, or spying on them. So too Yosef accused them of being a spy, and by accusing them and causing them pain, thereby causing them less pain in the world to come. It's better to get the pain in this world than having the pain in the world to come. And since Yosef was able to act measure for measure and give him the exact or some of the exact accusation that he received, so therefore they will have less pain in the world to come. And Yosef makes him go to jail. That is atonement, according to Klei Yochor, for them throwing Joseph into the pit. That they have to have the feeling of Yosef's suffering, that the same way that Yosef suffered, and because Yosef suffered by being thrown into the pit, they will be suffering for that sin in the world to come. So in order to alleviate, in order to make the sin smaller, Yosef had them thrown into pit, which basically had them thrown into the jail, and like that, their sin will become lessened. And the Klei Yochor continues a lot of different similarities that what happened to Yosef, Yosef made happen to them, thereby lessening their sin for what they did, because since they get already in this world measure for measure, Hashem will not punish them in the world to come. And the Klei Yochor says, you see, it worked, that eventually they do vidui, they confess their sins, and they say that Avol Hashemim Anachnu, we are guilty for throwing Yosef into the pit. So according to Klei Yochor, the whole idea was Yosef's idea in order to cause them to make tshuva and in order to give them punishment measure for what they did. On this Klei Yochor, you could technically ask the same question that the Klei Yochor asked on the Ramban, that the Ramban says that Yosef wanted his dreams to come true. That's why he acted this way. And the Klei Yochor asks, why doesn't he trust in Hashem? And if Hashem wants to make dreams come true, doesn't Yosef know that Hashem makes dreams come true? What right does Yosef have to cause the pain on his father just because he wanted the dreams come true? So the same questions you could ask on the Klei Yochor himself. What? Yosef, you don't trust in Hashem, you have to cause your father's pain? If Hashem wants your father to suffer mido keneged mido, that since your father did not serve Yitzchak for 22 years, therefore he has to suffer for 22 years, and that is what he did wrong, that is not your job to do it. It's not your job to give your father pain, even though Hashem may want to give him pain. Your job is to do kibud av va'em, honor your father and mother. Hashem told you what you have to do. You don't have to second guess Hashem and tell him, you know, Hashem doesn't disclose him, Hashem is giving him pain, so therefore I'm not going to take away his pain. We never heard such a thing. If a Jew is in pain, we don't go with this rationale. You know, if he has pain, must be that Hashem decreed for him to get the pain. Because if he followed this rationale, then we would never give tzedakah. There's a famous story brought down that Turnus Rufus, which was the Roman governor of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, and he had an argument with Rabbi Akiva. He said, what happens if a king decrees that you should not feed somebody and not give him anything to eat? If a person goes and intervenes and feeds the person, what do the king do to that person? Surely the king will be very mad. Rabbi Akiva countered, what happens if a father tells everybody that I don't want you to feed my son, and his son is about to starve, and a friend saw that and fed him, wouldn't the father be grateful? So what was the argument? They explained the argument was that Turnus Rufus was arguing, how come you could give tzedakah? Hashem is the king. Hashem decreed that this person should not have money. So how can you, what chutzpah do you have to go in to intervene? Obviously, if you intervene, you're doing something wrong and the king will punish you. And that Rabbi Akiva countered that no, that we are in the category of children to Hashem, and when our father decrees not to feed his son, and his son is about to be in trouble, the father would be happy, even though somebody transgresses his word, the father would be happy that the son survives. You see from here that even though you are not the cause of somebody's pain, you still have to go and alleviate his pain. For sure here, Yosef, that you could make sure that your father shouldn't have pain, so how can Yosef decide that since Hashem wants to cause pain to my father, I'm going to let him cause it? You have a mitzvah of helping your fellow man, and you also have a mitzvah of love your fellow man as yourself. even if he's not your father, you forget the mitzvah of kibbutz av v'em, honoring your father and mother. You have a mitzvah that you have to love your fellow man as yourself. So how can Yosef not tell his father, according to the Kelei Yochor, that he's alive? What kind of argument is it that since Hashem gave him the pain, obviously we are not allowed to interfere? And the other explanation of the Kelei Yochor about the brothers, that Yosef wanted his brothers to have atonement in this world, therefore Yosef acted this way towards them by causing them pain, by saying they were spies and then throwing them to jail. What does Yosef think he is? Does he think he is God, that he is in, knows exactly what the atonement for what somebody does is? If somebody wrongs you, you don't have the right to wrong them the same way. We have actually the prohibition, loisikoim veloisitoir, that you're not allowed to take revenge on a person. So how can Yosef do exactly the same way, but with pure intentions that he wants his brothers not to suffer so much in the world to come? You don't know exactly what is the suffering or what the punishment or what intents was by his brothers doing it. How can you even think that you could come up with that? And just because they eventually do vidui and you could see actually that he was right, it is always very easy after something comes out right to say, you see, I was right. But beforehand, how does he know that they actually are going to do vidui, that they actually are going to repent on their actions? Who knows? Maybe they would have rebelled even worse. Maybe they would have done a worse sin by being pushed so far. Maybe they would even come to kill him by being pushed so far. So how can Yosef take the chance, or how would Yosef know what Hashem has in store? So Kelei Yochor's question on the Ramban, that how come Yosef did not have bitachon, and if Hashem wants the dreams to come true, the dreams will definitely come true regardless what Yosef does, is the same question of the Kelei Yochor. How can Yosef not trust Hashem? You have to do the right thing, and Hashem will make things fit, whatever is supposed to fit. The chips will fall where Hashem wants them to fall. It's not your business to make what you think Hashem wants by causing your father and your brothers to suffer. On yourself, you could do tshuva and you could do anything you want, but you're not allowed to give suffering to your brothers, and you're not allowed to give suffering to your father. So how come this is what he did? The Daza Kenu Bala Toisves asks this question, and he gives a couple different interpretations how come Yosef did not tell Yaakov that he's alive. The first interpretation is that since he knew that his fathers and brothers are prophets, obviously they had the capability to know where he was, unless Hashem doesn't want to disclose it. Because he brings down that they actually made a cherem not to disclose to Yaakov, and Hashem also joined in the cherem. And also they had Yosef swear that he is not going to disclose anything to anybody. That's why eventually when Yosef tells them that he's his brother, he makes sure that there is no person around, because he swore that he'll never disclose to another person what happened to him. Are you going to ask me how is it possible that Hashem joined in the cherem not to disclose to Yaakov? The answer is that Hashem joined for other reasons than the brothers. Hashem joined because since Yaakov had to suffer for 22 years for not seeing Yitzchak, so therefore Hashem joined the cherem that nobody will tell him where Yosef is. And Rashi actually brings down on the Pasuk on Parshas Vayeshev, Bereshis chapter 37, Pasuk number 35, says Vayevk Oisoy Aviv, says that his father cried for him. So Rashi says that Yitzchak is the one who cried. Yitzchak knew what happened, but since Hashem didn't disclose, he is not going to disclose either. So therefore you see clearly that there was a cherem, and Hashem joined the cherem just because of the mitzvah of kibbutz av v'em. Since Yaakov did not do kibbutz av v'em, he had to suffer that for 22 years he didn't see Yosef. But the brothers thought that since Hashem joined the cherem, must be what they're doing is right. The brothers thought that the cherem was that Hashem agreed with the sale. That's why the brothers never repent about the sale. They only repent about seeing the pain of Yosef when he was in the pit. But the sale itself, they never repent. But Hashem wanted to do the Cherem because Yaakov had to suffer for 22 years. So therefore Hashem joined the Cherem to not tell Yaakov about Yosef, what's happened to Yosef until that time. Even though Yaakov was a prophet, Hashem removed the prophecy at that point because of that. The other answer that Azakenim brings down, that Yosef did not tell his father what happened to him, and we ask a question, how can Yosef not feel for the pain of the father? The Azakenim says, wait a minute, when he was a slave, he wouldn't tell his father, because the father would have been more pained what the brothers did to him than Yosef's pain of being a slave. And when he became king, maybe Yaakov wouldn't believe that the brothers did that to Yosef, like it says eventually, when he finds out that Yosef is alive, says, Vayofe gliboy kiloy hemilohem. His heart was undecided because he did not believe them. And also, if he would have told his father when he became viceroy, then he was afraid maybe the brothers will hear that the father found out, and the brothers will start dispersing. One will go to the north, one will go to the south. The brothers will run away from the father, from the pachad, from the fear of what the father will do to them. Or maybe what Yosef will do to them. What I mean is that if Yosef would disclose to the father that he's a viceroy, then the brothers would find out, and the brothers start running away. Maybe Yosef wants to take revenge. And by doing that, by the brothers dispersing, the father would have greater pain of not seeing his children the rest of his life. So therefore, Yosef devised a plan that they will come here, and Yosef will disclose them slowly who he is, and like that they're all going to be united, and Yosef will show that he doesn't have any hatred in his heart for them. Like that they won't run away, and they won't have to be embarrassed, and the father will understand that Hashem did it for the right purpose. This Dazakenim explains very well why Yosef didn't tell Yaakov, but he does not explain why Yosef acted so badly towards his brothers, accusing them of being spies and throwing them in jail. Unless you're going to say that if Yosef would have acted nicely towards his brother, the brothers would have been suspicious and thought that he's conspiring against them. So therefore Yosef devised a plan to act harshly towards them at the beginning, and then to say he doesn't want to hurt them anymore, that he forgives them and he loves them. But because otherwise, we have a very hard question. How come Yosef HaTzadik made his brothers suffer? True that you don't want them to disperse, but you could have told them softly that I'm your brother and I love you. And don't worry, Hashem thought it for the good. We still are bothered by the question, how come Yosef acted so badly towards his brother? The Balaturim on the Pasuk that Yosef estranged himself brings the easiest answer. The Baal Turim says that Yosef tried to disclose to his brothers that he's Yosef, and he wanted to receive him in a nice countenance and be friendly to them. And the angel came and told them not to do it. The Gavriel came and told them that they are the ones who sold you. Don't do it. So therefore Yosef didn't do it. So according to this, it's very easy to answer that Hashem has told Yosef not to disclose to anybody. Yosef did not disclose, and the angel comes and tells you, you know, act harshly towards them, then you act harshly towards them. So it's a gzeres hakasuv, therefore you have no questions against Yosef. I saw a beautiful interpretation from Rabbi Yitzchak Shalom, and he starts with the story of Yosef from the beginning, and we'll see how it works, and he has a different mahalach, a different way in the whole story of Yosef. So Yosef has dreams, and he tells his brothers, and his brothers hate him. Then the Pasuk says that the brothers went to Shechem to shepherd their father's flock. And Jacob tells Yosef that Halo Yochicha, your brothers are shepherding in Shechem, go and I'll send you to them. And Yosef says, Hineni. Yosef says, here I am. Rashi says that even though Yosef knew that the brothers hate him, still Yosef was willing to do his shlichus, what his father told him. By the way, this is the only time that the word hineni appears after actually knowing what is going to be done. Normally hineni is when Hashem says Avram, Avram, or he says Moshe, Moshe, before you know exactly what is going to be commanded to you, you say hineni, here I am. Here Yosef knew exactly what is going on. Yosef knew that his brothers hate him, like Rashi says, still he was willing to do bizrizus and another, to do it in alacrity and to do it with humility, and nonetheless he was willing to do it. Yaakov tells him, go see how the sheep is and how your brothers are. And Yosef goes quickly, and before he approaches, they take him and throw him into the pit. In the whole story, we don't see Yosef speaking to the brothers or them saying anything to him. And he doesn't know the whole discussion that they want to kill him, don't want to kill him. All he knows is they throw him into the pit. Afterwards, somebody takes him out of the pit, which we don't know exactly who it was, because in the pasuk, if you take a look at the pasuk seems to imply that the Midianim took him out of the pit. But let's make believe that they sold Yosef out. But all that Yosef knows is that he's brought up from the pit and sold as a slave. Reuven is the one that convinced his brothers not to kill Yosef, and yet he wasn't present at the sale of Yosef, because the pasuk says, "Vayoshev Reuven el Abar." Reuven returned to the pit. He saw that Yosef is not there, and he became very upset. He says, "Yelade Nenu, the boy is not here, and now how am I going to hide from my father's sorrow?" So Rashi has a question, where was Reuven? Rashi says that they took turns every day, one of the sons served their father, and now it was Reuven's turn to serve the father. Reuven was not present at the sale of Yosef. So first we have a question, if every day somebody has a turn to serve the father, how come the father has to send Yosef to see how the brothers are? Why couldn't the father wait one more day? The next day, one of the sons will come and you ask him, how are your brothers? And the brother that came will tell him how the brothers are. Why does Yaakov have to send Yosef to see how the brothers are? So therefore, he says that what's going on is much deeper. If you analyze the whole Sefer Bereishis, you will see that from the beginning of the Avos, you will see a selection process. We see that Abraham had, beginning, two children. He had Yitzchak and he had Ishmael. And one was chosen, the other one, because he was the son of the Shivcha, he was the son of the maiden, was not chosen. Then Yitzchak had two children, Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov was chosen to be the continuation of the Jewish people. And Esav, even though he was a son of Yitzchak, was rejected and he was kicked out. Hashem says, "Ki be Yitzchak ikare lecha zera." In Yitzchak, you're going to be called a child, but not all of Yitzchak. And Hashem chose the line of Yaakov to be the future of the Jewish people, to be the future of Judaism, to be the ones that's going to receive Torah. So now Yaakov has a lot of wives, but Yaakov has one illegal wife. According to what the Torah later is going to legislate, the illegal wife of Yaakov is Rachel, because the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister while your wife is still alive. In other words, the Torah tells you that if you marry one wife, then you are not allowed to marry your sister-in-law while the wife is still alive. After the wife's death, then you're allowed to marry the sister-in-law. So it's true that Yaakov really worked for Rachel. But eventually, the legal wife of Yaakov was Leah, because that's his first wife. Comes out Rachel is technically the illegal wife, since she was married after her sister. She became her wife's sister, and that is illegal. So since Rachel was the illegal wife, Yosef thought that being the child of Rachel, he is the illegal son. Yosef thought that since he is the illegal child, obviously Hashem has rejected him. Hashem had told Yaakov to reject him. So Yaakov, even though Yaakov knew how the brothers are and knows about their well-being, still Yaakov wants to send Yosef, because it couldn't be the reason to see how really they are doing, because he knew yesterday how they're doing and he could wait till tomorrow to find out how they're doing, since every day one of the brothers comes to serve him. So Yosef thought that the reason that Yaakov sent them is because Hashem told Yaakov to send them. Yaakov has to get rid of Yosef. He doesn't know how to do it. Yaakov sends Yosef to his brothers, and the brothers will do what Yaakov wants, And Yaakov wants that because Hashem has told him to act that way. Because Yosef has no part if the brothers, because since Yosef is the son of the illegal wife, he has no part with the brothers. So therefore, Yosef, when he sees him being thrown out of the pit, he accepts it and he's thrown out. And then when he comes out to Egypt, he still, even though he was rejected by the brothers, also by his father, because of Hashem telling them to kick him out, that he's not part of the Israel family, still he believes in Hashem and still acts the proper way, that he doesn't sin with the wife Potiphar, and everything he does, he names in the name of Hashem. Because just because you're not part of the Jacob continuing dynasty doesn't mean that you have to reject Hashem. And not only that, Yosef has proof, because if Yaakov didn't look for him, Yaakov has prophecy, and Yaakov didn't look for him. So obviously Yaakov knew what's happening, and Yaakov was in approval of what's happening. Yosef didn't know that they took his shirt and dipped it in blood and showed Yaakov and told Yaakov that he's dead. Yosef is sure that his father knows and his father approves. So Yosef continues his life in a normal way. And you have another proof of that, that this week's parsha, Yosef has got two children. He calls the oldest child Manasseh. And what is the translation? Why he called his child Manasseh? The pasuk says on chapter 41, pasuk number 51, Kinashani Elokim Eskola Moli, because Hashem made me forget all my trouble, Ves Kol Beisavi, and my father's house. In other words, he's saying, thank you Hashem for making me forget my troubles and making me forget my father's house. Because we have a question on this statement. What chutzpah is it for a son to say, you have made me forget my father's house? But now we understand that Yosef thought, since they have rejected me, and that is your will, so he is saying, Hashem, thank you. The same way you pray for the good, you pray for the bad. Manasseh was in a way thanking Hashem for making him forget his father's house, that since he's rejected, thank you Hashem for making me forget. Now Yosef comes and he sees his brothers, and he sees only 10 brothers. Yosef thinks that his brothers are coming to say that he is still not far enough. The brothers come in through 10 doors. The brothers obviously are looking for something. Yosef thinks that they're looking for him, not because they want to bring him back. Quite the opposite. He thinks that they want to kick him even further away. So he figures, must be true that there's only 10 brothers, because Binyamin was also kicked out. Since Binyamin is also the son of the illegal wife, he is also the son of Rachel. So he comes and he asks his brothers, what's going on? How come you came through different doors? The brothers say that we are all 12 brothers, and one, the youngest one, is with the father today, and one is not here. So as soon as Yosef hears that Binyamin is with the father today, Yosef has doubts. Wait a minute, if I'm the son of the illegal wife, then Binyamin is also the son of the illegal wife. So if he's the son of the illegal wife, what is he doing home? If it is like I thought, that Hashem had told my father to kick me out because of the selection process, since I was the son of the illegal wife, then Binyamin shouldn't be there either. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's true what they're saying, or it's true the way I thought. The only way I could ascertain if it's true is if they bring Binyamin down. Yosef finds a way to tell them that I don't trust you. The only way I will trust you is if you bring Binyamin here. So once they bring Binyamin, then Yosef realized that all they did was in their own accord, was because they hated the children of Rachel. So Yosef wanted to test, before he discloses who he is, Yosef wanted to test if they still hate the children of Rachel. If they're still going to hate the children of Rachel, then he's not going to disclose to them that he is Yosef. But if they're going to show love for children of Rachel, then he's safe by revealing himself to them. And that's what Yosef made the test with the cup, and then Binyamin is caught, and then Yehuda risks his life for Binyamin, and Binyamin is the child of Rachel. Then Yosef knew, then he's safe, that he could disclose who he is, and nothing bad is going to happen to him. Because Yosef knew that even though he was the viceroy of Egypt, if the brothers wanted, they could destroy all of Egypt, the same way that Shimon and Levi were able to destroy Shechem. So if the brothers won, they could destroy all of Egypt. So Yosef wanted to make sure that bygones are bygones, and they change their mind, and they love, and they want to make amends with the children of Rachel, in other words, with Yosef. So once he does that, he discloses to them who he is. And with that, our questions are answered. Our main question was, how can Yosef cause pain to his father? Yosef didn't know his father didn't know. Yosef thought his father knew, and his father is the one who orchestrated his sale, because Yosef thought, because of selection process, he was kicked out. And the question, why did he do that to his brothers? He wanted to find out if it's true that Binyamin is still there. Once he finds out that Binyamin is there, then he wants to find out if they still hate him. And once he finds that out, then he could reveal himself and the family is again totally united. We always read these parshas during Hanukkah, and the idea is that we know that this is the first time that we see Sinas Chinam, idol hatred, and because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because of the hatred for no reason, and Hashem should help that we should have Ahavas Chinam, free love, and the lights of Hanukkah should shine and bring light and an end to our dark exile, and we should see Mashiach come, and the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, b'mehera b'yameinu amen.